Our scripture text this morning is Proverbs chapter 31. I want to encourage you this morning to keep on doing what may well be the most important and influential job in the whole world, and that is simply being a mom. Each of you is called of God to dedicate yourself to being a godly mom. Now, whatever else you may do, there are a few things that will matter as much as your influence as a mom and a grandmom, as the case may be, as you go on in life. What is a godly mom like? What does she do all day? How does she live? How does she spend her time? The most thorough example of this that you're probably going to be able to find in Scripture anywhere is found in Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to begin reading that this morning with verse number 10. Solomon writes, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, and so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goes not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." Or lives in Texas where there is no snow, whichever. "She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Now today we're going to give an opportunity to some of our children to do just that, to rise up and talk about their moms. Maybe even a husband or two. Who knows how far out of hand this could actually get. But before we do, I want to share with you some of the things that you may not know about this virtuous woman that we're reading about. The chapter starts out in verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel. King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" Can you relate to talking to your children like that when they're asking, "Mom, what this and what's that and what?" I think you relate, don't you? She says to her son, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." These are the words of King Lemuel. Now, King Lemuel is Solomon. That's the name that you probably know him by. Now, Lemuel means belonging to God. And Solomon certainly did belong to God. Now, this was written by Solomon. We know that very surely. And Lemuel is apparently a title by which King Solomon was known by those close to him. It is not uncommon for people to be known by special names to those who they're very close to, family. This might have been his mother's pet name for him. Did your mom have a pet name for you? You know, I was raised in the country, and for the first several years of my life, I thought my name was Go Get Wood. So, you know, actually, that's not original. I stole that from someone. But I did go get a lot of wood when I was growing up. Did your mom have a special name for you? Anybody? What was your mom's special name for you, Marcella? She said what? Say it louder. My sensa? This terrible being deaf. Did you all hear that? Good, I'll get it later. All right. Anybody else have a special name that your mom used on you when you were growing up? Still does, obviously. Monkey Boy. I think I'd go with Lemuel better. Wes, what was your special name?
Butcher.
Butcher? Okay. I don't even want to know why. I don't even want to know. Oh, then it was Butch. Okay. Well, okay. Butch, huh? All right. Butchy Boy. Okay. Now, the first 9 verses of this are Solomon reiterating some of the things that his mother taught him as he was growing up. You know, it's amazing the things that you remember that your mother taught you. These are the things that Solomon remembered. She warns him about women. He did not listen. She warns him about the dangers of drinking. She says, it's for those who have no hope. It's not for us. She admonishes him to take up the cause for those who are in need. And then Solomon begins to, it's like he kind of changes gears here in this, and he begins to tell us what he saw in this wonderful mother of his as he was growing up with her. Lemuel describes his mother. He calls her virtuous. Virtuous means good. Wonderful. Do you understand who this is? Do you understand that this is King Solomon and that his mother is Bathsheba? That's who we're reading about here. This is the lady that used to be married to a man named Uriah, who was killed in a battle, murdered actually. This is the lady that used to bathe naked on the rooftop inside of the king's palace. Same one. But Bathsheba is no longer who Bathsheba used to be. You see, Bathsheba is one of God's children now. Ladies, do you understand what this means for you? It means that you are no longer a prisoner of your past. That's what it means. It means that even though some of you may not have started out as someone who could be referred to as virtuous, it means the Lord can and does change all that. It means that those who say that she can never amount to anything for God. I mean, look at what she's been. Because maybe you've been divorced or because you had less than a godly past reputation. It means that those people are simply wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand the changing power of God. Sometimes those who work the hardest to accomplish the most are the ones who think they have to do that in order to overcome their past. This may have been part of the motivation of Bathsheba being such a hard-working woman. And she was. She was up early. She stayed up late. and she took care of her household. All these attributes that we read about her are worthy, and every one of them should be emulated by every woman. But I want to remind you of this. If you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, paid your debt in full, was buried, and rose again the third day, if you have placed your trust in Him, then He has caused your spirit, which was dead in sins, to be alive forever. And you are now the precious child of God. And God's title for you is righteous, because that's what He did to you on the inside when He saved you. He made you righteous. I want to remind you that if you have placed your trust in Christ, He has already overcome for you. You don't have to work harder than anyone else in order to overcome your past, because God has put your past as far as the east is from the west, never to bring it up again. And I'll tell you a little secret. We're not going to bring it up either, because we believe in regeneration. We believe in the power of forgiveness. And we know what the blood of Jesus Christ can do for somebody. Forgiveness is a marvelous thing. Romans 8 and 31, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, is He? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God. It is God that justifies. You see, what we read here is what her son saw her doing as he was with her and around her growing up every day. You know, it's always been the case that in most of the time, kids growing up spend a lot more time with their moms than they do with their dads. Obviously, because of all the care that's needed, and moms are the ones who usually get that done, certainly the best. So let me just ask you ladies today, what do your children see you doing every day? What do they see? Do they see you doing their dad good and not evil all the days of your life, every day? That's what Solomon saw. And believe me, David was not always on his best behavior, was he? Do they see you working hard and teaching them to work hard? Paula works hard. And her testimony is already, we've already heard this morning that it was her mother that taught her to do that, to work hard. Someone probably from East Texas said that verse 14 proves that women ought to barbecue. She bringeth her food from afar, you know, so it'll take a while for that to soak into some of you. Okay. Particularly if you're not from the eastern side of Texas. Do they see you up early every day taking care of your household? Is that what they see? Do they see you taking care of yourself physically? She strengthens her arms. Woman exercises. She works hard. You're going to live long enough, likely, to wish you had taken good care of yourself. Everybody I know that's my age and older says the same thing. If I had only known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. Do your children ever hear you gossip about others? Do they see you and hear you reading God's Word every day? Every day. Do they hear you pray? Are you waiting on the pastor to teach them to pray? I hope not. What your children and what your husband say about you speak volumes. It does. Verse 31 says, her children rise up. I mean, verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed or blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So let's find out what your children and maybe, just maybe your husband has to say about you. We're going to have some fun now. As if we weren't already having fun, right? And we're going to let some of our kids preach to us today. I think we're going to learn some things. So, I'm going to pick out a couple here that I have not chosen ahead of time. And see what's happened. Ava, would you come up here with me? You're a brave girl. Come up here and have a seat by me. You like coming to Lighthouse?
Yes.
Pretty wonderful, isn't it? About, how long has it been? It hasn't been a year yet, I don't think. Remember when your mom and dad were coming to Bible classes and you kind of sat in there with them? We had those classes every week. Well, here in a minute. Has your mom changed any since those days, you think? Is she still just like she was? Or have you noticed anything different?
I don't know.
No, don't know? She likes coming to church now, doesn't she?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell me something that you really, really do love about your mom, something special. What do you love about your mom?
She takes care of me and my dad a lot.
A lot, huh? That means you need a lot of caretaking? Yeah, me too. She takes care of your dad too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is he a pretty happy guy? Yeah. I bet that's part of the reason, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to say that you really love about your mom? Can she cook?
Yes.
She's a good cook? Yeah. That's always cool. Of course, later that catches up with you when it's hard to put down that good cooking. Is she teaching you how to pray?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? I bet that was kind of new over the last year or so, huh? It's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Would you say that you were really blessed to have your mom? Yeah. Thank you, Ava. Appreciate your help. Love you. Let's see here. Maybe a volunteer now. Anybody volunteer to come up and tell me something that you really love about your mom? Oh, I got a bunch of hands. Let's see. Ladies first, Trace. You be next. Come on, sweetie. Hi, Jersey. You know what Jersey is?
A T-shirt.
Jersey's a really pretty, you know the Bluebell cow that they have on the commercials? Oh, that's a Jersey. Did you know that your mom named you after a cow? Okay, now tell me something you really love about your mom. Now, Jersey's a nice name. It's not just a cow. It's not just a cow. I used to milk a Jersey every morning before I went to school when I was growing up. But it has nothing to do with your name. Tell me something you really, really love about your mom.
She's always there for me.
I've been hearing that all morning. She's always there for me. What do you mean by that? I mean, you talking about does she give you advice when you're messing up?
Yes. She comes to all my softball games and my tournaments.
She comes to all your softball games?
Yeah, and my tournaments, and she always buys me shirts so I can remember it. And she said when I'm older, she's going to grab them all and make a quilt out of them.
Okay. Cool. That's pretty wonderful.
Think she loves you? Yeah. Proves it pretty regular, doesn't she? Anything you'd like to just, special you'd just like to tell her this morning for Mother's Day?
I love you.
Say it again.
I love you, Mommy.
Thank you. Come on, Trace. That's a pretty hard act to follow, huh?
No.
Yeah, man. So tell me what you really love about your mom.
Her cooking.
Her cooking. Well, it's pushed you up pretty tall so far, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, you better hope it doesn't change directions, all I can tell you. What else?
Her sarcasm.
Her sarcasm. Give me an example.
Just about anything that me and my sister ever bring up, she always somehow makes a joke out of it.
Oh, yeah?
And it just helps keep the house lively.
Keeps it lively.
Yeah.
Sometimes things wouldn't be as much fun without a little humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Life gets a little tough sometimes, doesn't it?
Indeed.
She stay pretty strong during those times?
Always.
Yeah?
With all the times that we had to move, she's always managed to make things work.
Amen. Amen. What would you like to tell her this morning?
Love you, Mom.
That's the way a guy says it. You don't get all choked up and bad when guys say it like that. Thank you, buddy. Any other volunteers? Are we going to giggle a lot?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Tell me something you really love about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to have thought of that before you come up, but go ahead.
I love everything about my mom.
Everything?
There's not one particular thing. I just love everything about
There's not her. Anything about your mom you don't like.
Okay, I like her shortness.
Her shortness?
Shortness.
Do you remember when you guys first came to Lighthouse?
Yes, sir.
You were Miss Shortness then, weren't you?
No, she's Miss Shortness.
Now, but not then. Yeah.
But you still look up to
her, don't you? Yes, I do.
All right, one special thing, specific.
Her love.
That's pretty special. Okay, thank you. All right. Let's see here. Come on up here. Hurry every chance you get. I love my mom because she lets me go to church barefooted.
My sister's okay. A doctor.
All right. Give me something special that you love about your mom.
My mom, she's always been there for me through everything, every doctor's appointment, ever since I was little. I've gone to the doctor since I was like probably 5, and she's always been there and fought on my side for everything. She's always she's never given up on me. And she's always fought for me and been in my corner. She gives people the stare down at the store and they make fun of me. She's like my best friend.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's quite a statement. She's my best friend. Anybody else? Any other volunteers? Want to tell us something that you love about your mom? Okay. And you would do that on a day that Valerie's not here. So, okay. And that's unusual, by the way.
Yeah, she's not feeling well today. But
you want to come to church barefooted too?
Yeah. I could. Okay. For y'all that know my mother, you know, she has some obvious disabilities. But she's taught me to persevere.
Amen.
And she has done more with the less than a lot of people have. And she raised me, and I was no easy child to raise. And she loved me through everything, every rotten, stinky thing I've ever done.
That's Mom.
That's Mom. And I love her. And my other mother's in here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. For those of you who don't know, Pete and Valerie says she's not feeling well today. It's probably all that fun we had at Senior Saints yesterday. But Valerie pretends that she doesn't know how to count domino points very well. But she always wins. It's amazing how that just works out like that. I think we've been had, I think that's what it is. Who else? Come on, Denny.
I'll have to sit out. I got long legs, Pastor. My mom's not here today. She's with my grandmother. But my mom... I need worldly examples for things to correlate God's word sometimes, and I can honestly say I wouldn't understand unconditional love of Jesus if not for my mom's. She's picked me off of countless floors. She's taken on the local drug dealer. She's never turned her back on me, and no matter how many times I messed up and disappeared and ran away and did the things that most people go through when they grow up, and she could always look at me like I was her son, and that was always enough for me to get by. And when I think of Jesus's love, I think of the same thing he sees son. And if not for my mother, I don't think I could understand fully what that means. So I love my mom. I'm a mama's boy. And proud of it. So if you met my dad, you might know why, but that's another tale. But love your mama, because she went through a lot to have you, and she'll always be there.
Amen. That tells me we might not better do this again on Father's Day. Come on, sweetie. I see your hand up back there. I see two of them. Come on, both of you. I'll give you both a turn. We got just enough time. Just enough time. Looks like you guys prepared for this by dressing accordingly. All right, let's see. Go ahead, Stephanie.
So one of the things my mom taught me, she's in Kingston today, so she won't hear me. With unconditional love, my mom made me something like a hand stitch. She made me a cap. Got a cute little frame, got our initials on it.
You say a cat?
A cat.
A cat, yeah. Kitty cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And every time we have a fight, I throw it in the trash. Every time. And mom's unconditional love, she got it out of the trash and put it back on my dresser. And it would make me smile that my mom, no matter what, still loved me. And I did that my entire growing up. And I'm glad my mom loved me enough to get it out of the trash, because it's something that I can say that I still have.
Cool. She gave you a love cat. That's pretty special, isn't it? That's pretty good. Now, this is Leslie's daughter, Marissa. Tell us what you especially love about your mom.
One thing that I love about my mom is that no matter what, no matter how bad I am, no matter how rude I am, no matter how bad my attitude is, she still loves me.
Wow. I don't think I can add anything to that. I got about 2 minutes. Joseph, come on. There you go, buddy.
I'd like to say the one thing I love about my mom is no matter what, she's not one to put a fake smile. She's not one to sugarcoat the bad news. Whenever I'm doing wrong, she always gets on to me to make sure I'm on the right track. And I love her for that because I feel like without that, I'd be a lot worse off. I wouldn't be here at church. I wouldn't be saved. A lot of things would have happened without her, their guidance and teaching.
Amen. Thanks, Joseph. Thank you. Come on over here, Dakota. Come on over here. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. About a year ago, your mom and Bobby came here every week for Bible classes. You remember doing that? And then you were playing in the gym or out there coloring and doing homework and all that sort of thing. Has your mom been different since that time, since you've been coming to Lighthouse? No? She's just the same as ever? You haven't noticed any changes? Tell me something that you really love about your mom.
She helps me with my homework.
She helps you with your homework. That's important. Is she a little bit more patient with you than she used to be? Well, things are a little bit different, huh?
What do we do every night? What she teach you to do every night and before every meal? What she teach you to do? What do you do every time we eat?
To first eat and then take a bath and then get in.
Brush your teeth and then what?
Well, I'm talking about before we eat, baby. What do you do before we eat?
You always pray before your meals?
And you do it, huh?
Cool. Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to tell us about? Anything else about what you really love about your mom?
I love her.
I love her. That'll do. Okay, go sit down. Hi, Morgan. Tell me something you really love about your mom.
She's always there for me.
Always there. Is that it?
There's a lot more. There's too much to explain in one sentence for the short amount of time we have.
Okay. I use that myself sometimes. So. Give me one specific thing. Now, and always being there for you, I mean, I'm sure that means to talk to. Do you trust the advice she gives you?
Yes, sir.
She gives you godly advice?
All the time.
Yeah. One more real special thing that you really love about your mom.
She's my mom.
Yeah. She's yours. That'll do. Amen. Amen. All right, let's see here. I see Brittany Kennedy back there. Come on up here, Brittany. Brittany was a little girl when Ray got saved and he and Susan came to this church. She's the same size then as she is now, but she was a much younger little girl then. I love you too. Tell me something that you really love about your mom.
Well,
She is a very big supporter in my life. She's always there giving me very, very good advice, especially in the place that I work and throughout my education.
She encourages you?
She does. A lot.
She teaches you how to handle yourself on that job?
Oh, yeah. She says, be patient. If you don't have anything to say, don't say anything at all.
The law of kindness is in her mouth, too.
Yes.
Those of you that did not have somebody to teach you how to conduct yourself on your first job, don't you wish you'd had someone to show you those things, to teach you those things? Anything else? Any other special things you'd just like to tell her this morning?
I really love you, Mommy, even through all the bad times and the good times that we've had. You're really a lovely mother.
Amen. That'll do. Let's see here. Anybody else? Okay, come on. There'll be some sniveling going on here. I can see it coming.
For many of you who don't know, my mother lives in a totally different state, and I don't get to see her very often. And my mother and I argue a lot about what the Bible has to say. And when I met Lisa and Pastor, I was kind of on edge about certain things. And they both have been my spiritual parents, I guess I could say. And Lisa has been there when my mother wasn't. And she's taken me to the hospital. She's taken care of my house while I was in the hospital. She's guided me and spoke truthfully to me. And I just want you to know that I really, really love you. And I am very grateful that God brought you into my life.
Come on, Caleb. What do you really love about your mom?
She'll listen to my porn stories when no one else will.
You mean when you talk nonstop, continuously, like a kind of a record broken, and she just patiently listens to you anyway? Is that right? You do that, huh? Talk a lot, yeah. Does that take a lot of love to do that, you think? Yeah, probably does. Probably does. What else?
She's always there for me.
Can she cook?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Always there for you. I heard that from your sister, too. Any other thing you'd really like to tell your mom?
I love you.
That'll work. All right. Thank you, buddy. Wes? Is this a husband rise up thing?
Oh, so much to tell about my mom. She was always very supportive, and she was my defender. I had a dad that was very abusive, and he just didn't like another male in the house. And one day, while he was beating on me, she stood up to him and she said that was enough. So he laid her over the bed and beat her instead. And when she came out of the room, she hugged me. She always made sure that I went to church on Sunday, dressed me, used her spittle to slick my hair back. You know, that magical mom spit, you know, that'll clean the bumper off a Chevy. Always encouraged me and and she volunteered as a Sunday school teacher. She played the piano and organ for church, and always just stood strong and tried to be the Proverbs 31 wife. And even though my dad sure wasn't worthy of a woman like her, but she stayed with him until he died. And it wasn't until after he died that I found out that she had a child after me. I thought I was the youngest, but she had to give him up because my dad said, "You're not having any more kids." So I had a brother that I never knew until after my dad died. But she kept that secret. Because I lived with two older sisters, and they were always kind of rough with me, and I would always go to her and say, "I wish I had a brother." And I know she had to fight back the tears and not tell me that I'd had a brother. But she was just amazingly strong, and she's still strong and still living. She's 85 years old now, and still working, still volunteering, playing piano at church and teaching Sunday school. And the funniest thing, when I was a kid, I got a job. I was about 15 years old. I had to teach her how to drive so she could get back and forth to work because there was no bus route where we had moved. And that was the most fun because she was one of those middle-of-the-road drivers. I mean, follow that yellow line, you know. But what an amazing mom she is. And I love her so much. Thank you.
Amen. I had some older sisters taking care of me, so youngest of 12 obviously was a surprise. But I had that other brother. You didn't miss much. He was kind of mean, actually. So, yeah. Yeah, he could have took after Dad, so this Lord always knows. John?
I don't know if you called me or not. You've been known to diss me before.
Is that right?
Good morning. It's a special Mother's Day for me because this is the first one without my mother. I buried her January the 5th at 93. And I heard your comments earlier, and I want to just throw out a couple of, I think, what I remember is funny about her. As I started pigging out a few years ago, when Trish and I'd go visit Mother, Mother used to always make banana puddings and chocolate pies and all that stuff and have them laid out when I came because she knew I loved that kind of stuff. Of course, Trisha said, nin, about cholesterol and all that kind of stuff. So Trisha being there taking a bath or something, and my old mama at 89 or so then would come in there. Y'all remember little Babe Ruth? And she would slip me a Babe Ruth. A little chocolate won't hurt anybody. And I'd be going deer hunting. My mother at 89 or so, I'd be up at 4:30, she'd be up with breakfast laid out. It's 4:30 in the morning. Eggs, bacon, a whole shooting match, right? And then my little lunch, she'd make me a lunch to go deer hunting with, right? And she'd put chocolate chip cookies in and say, "Don't tell Trisha about these." That kind of stuff. But I do know that I remember the times when she'd be up. I had five sisters and two brothers, and Mother had breakfast on the table at 0600 for all of us every day. Now, Trisha just tells me where the toaster is.
I'm speechless.
My mom is in Georgia, but I couldn't miss the opportunity to thank her for all she's done for me. I was a blister to her, and she'd always just put her arms around me, and she told me You know, she'd take me to church every Sunday. That's about the only thing she knew that could help me. And she was right, because when I found Jesus later in life, then I realized why she drug me to church every Sunday, because she didn't know what to do with me. And he did. So I just want to thank her for that. And because of that, I learned about Jesus, and I've been able to raise my children in church. And I'm pretty proud of all of them. Thank you.
Amen. Well, let's see. We've got a couple more minutes, so we can take one or two more. Paula? Okay.
I lost my mom 2 years ago, next month. Yeah. And to have the memories that I have of my mother is just so heartwarming. I'm so glad that I was born in the era I was, because I tell you what, the women then, they worked. They gardened, they sewed, they did everything. Wash clothes outside with a wringing wash machine, hang it up on the line. I learned it all from my mom. I know what it is to work hard. I've seen her do it. Mom was also a Sunday school teacher. And whenever I told her that I was teaching Sunday school, she was happy about that. She gave me a lot of ideas or actually ways to work with the kids. There's not a day that goes by that my heart shows me her love, because she loved Jesus.
Amen. Well, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, it says. My mom never got to meet Lisa. They will. But she would have been, thrilled to get to meet Lisa. My older sister Phyllis is still alive, lives up in Gainesville. And Phyllis was a lot like a mom to me. She's definitely old enough to be my mom. You know, I remember I'm the way late coming youngest of 12, so I got a lot of nieces and nephews much older than me. But Phyllis has gotten to know Lisa, and she has a lot of complimentary things to say about how Lisa takes care of me, and I am blessed. I am blessed. Well, you know, the Bible says her husband also, and he praises her. Fellas, if you've got a spouse that loves your kids enough to make sure they're in church, and loves their kids enough and you enough to try to be, at least work on the process of being what God wants us and calls us to be, you're pretty blessed, and you need to be grateful for it. God's calling to moms is to be that virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. His callings to moms is to, you know, forgetting the past and pressing on to that which is in front of us. Everybody comes up here and talks about, no matter how bad I am, My mom still loves me. That's a kind of a recurring theme, is it not? It tells me that we really do know something about ourselves. We're kind of a mess. And even the moms, yeah, we're a mess, all a mess. But thanks to Jesus, we don't have to stay prisoners of our past. I look back, there's a lot of things I wish I'd done different with my kids. You moms say the same thing? Yeah. Well, that's what grandkids are for. Amen? You can correct some of the things you messed up with your kids, with your grandkids. I mean, there's always a place for mom to do what moms do best. And boy, for the love of a mother to demonstrate to us the love of Christ, that's a pretty big deal. Marissa was baptized a few weeks ago because mom was willing to get up and go by herself and to serve the Lord by herself. One day, won't be surprised to see God get a hold of Dad and change that too. We're praying for that. And we look for God's power to do that at some point. But thank God for moms who are willing to do whatever it takes to give kids what they really need. And sometimes it's just not sugarcoat the bad, but tell you to straighten up and fly right, or else. And then follow through with the else if it has to be. So, Mom, this is your day. Still all about Jesus, though. Amen? Amen? This is your day. I want you to have the best Mother's Day you ever had. So, you go make sure that Mom gets something special today. Amen?